Well, as I reflected on the readings today, it was amazing to see how a profound encounter with God transformed ordinary lives of these ordinary men into extraordinary lives as they became extraordinary men in the most high-stake business in the world, the economy of salvation of souls. These are the three men, Isaiah, Peter, and Paul. These are three of the few that God has called. God has called many throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. But here we have three figures, Isaiah, Peter, and Paul. Isaiah's vision in the first reading is an astounding experience. He comes into contact with the awesome holiness of God, which forces him to an immediate realization of his own unworthiness and an abrupt recognition of his own condition, as he states, "A man of unclean lips living among a people of unclean lips." And in today's gospel, Luke gives his version of the first encounter between Christ and Simon Peter. And the miraculous catch of fish provokes a similar reaction in Peter when he understands that Christ's holiness goes infinitely beyond what he originally suspected. Like Isaiah, he is made acutely aware of his own smallness, saying to Christ, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." You know what Jesus Christ said to Peter at that moment? "Duh, I already know that. I already know you're a sinful person. That's why I've come." And so Paul also is converting an encounter with Christ on the way to Damascus, as we've heard before. It wasn't in this reading here, but it caused him to realize his unworthiness, as he states in today's reading. "For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." These three experiences touch upon the infinite gap between the Creator and creatures. God infinitely transcends the created world, which is totally dependent upon Him for its existence. And in their loving respect for God, they responded to the mission and asked of that God had asked of them. And to Isaiah, the Lord said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah responded, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And Paul answered the call with a sacrificial generosity, as he states, "I have toiled harder than all of them. Not I, however, but the grace of God that is with me." And Simon Peter, his encounter with Jesus caught him off guard, as Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And what did Peter do? He left everything and followed Jesus. The call, the mission, the vocation, whatever word you like to use, is that of uniting our will with God's will. The precious gift of time that God has given each and every one of us in our life should be used in a certain way. This gift of life, this gift that He's given us of life, is only a short period of time here on earth. And we only have a certain amount of time, some more than others, some less than others. But we don't know how much time we have. We need to use that time wisely. So there's three ways I'd like to share with you. There's more ways you could use this time, but there's three ways that we should really utilize our time that we have. First of all, we should be growing in our knowledge and love of God. I'm going to repeat that. The first one, we should be growing in our knowledge and love of God. That's the most important thing we could possibly be doing in our lives, because that's the ultimate goal, is to know God, to love Him, and to be with Him for all eternity. Two, uniting our will with God's will. That is discovering our vocation, our calling, our mission in life. And that's the only way we can find that out, is being connected to the source of life, being connected to God. And then three, authentically living that mission, that calling, that vocation that God has called us to its fullness. Now, you might be wondering, what is this vocation, this calling? What are those? Well, there are three major vocations that God can be calling us to, and so we could be living those out. And one is the married life, which is a very important vocation. It's the nucleus of the church. It's the nucleus of society. The married life is very important, because from there will come the second one, the priesthood or religious life. And because the family life is called the domestic church, as Vatican II talks about it. So then the second one, as I said, is the priesthood and religious life, which is a very important calling because it's bringing that ministry out to other people in the world and bringing the gospel. Imagine if Isaiah, if Peter and Paul, they did not answer that call. There would have been a huge gap in bringing this great word of God, the life-giving word, the saving word of God to the world. And then the third one is the single life. And so those are the three ways that we could be called. People who live a single life often dedicate their lives to God in their work, in the way they live, in different manners of living. Now, how do we know what vocation God is calling us to? What is God calling me to live? How do I know what vocation it is that he has given to me? What mission? What calling? And this requires a certain amount of discernment. And the word discernment, a lot of people say, what's that? And a discernment basically means it's an unfolding, unveiling, a discovery of what God wants of us. So in order for us to discover God's calling to us, we need to go to the source of that, and that's God. And that's why we have vocation discernment retreats. And my job, even though I help out now here at St. Lucie's, but my main job that I have is I'm the director of vocations and seminarians. Now, I'm not a vocation recruiter like some people call me, because a vocation recruiter, what does a vocation recruiter do? He just wants to get a lot of people in. I'm a vocation director. I want to help these young men discern whether God is calling them to the married life, to the priesthood, or to the religious life. I want to help them. Because I don't want somebody in the priesthood that's not their vocation. We don't need numbers. We need men that are called to this ministry. And so it's helping them discover this great treasure in their lives. And that's what it is. And so we had on, over at St. Patrick's Seminary, we had a discernment weekend. And we brought in, we had about 35 men going on this. Our own auxiliary bishop, Bishop Tom Daly, was the one who led that retreat. And so as we had these men, 10 of them came from our diocese, the Diocese of San Jose. And these were men that were discerning their vocation. And they weren't men who didn't have anything to do in life. These were men that were working as engineers for Google, for Apple. And these are men that are, and I had one that entered. We had six that entered last year, and one of them was an engineer for Boeing. And he was highly employed. And left that job to come and give his life to Christ. A lot of these men were saying to me that their lives just didn't feel fulfilled. They're making a lot of money, true. And they're doing a lot of things that were good for society. But yet, their lives just didn't feel fulfilled. And that's something that's important for us to realize. Is God calling me? What is God calling me to? And where? And that's the next step that many of us should do. And, you know, those 10 men, there should have been more than just 10. In our diocese, there should have been 100 guys. I think every man and woman should make that decision and try that. Give God the first chance, as these men did. Give God the first chance to see, is this where he's calling me to? Now, you may or may not have heard this story, but I'll tell it again anyway. But I come from a family of 9. There's five boys, 4 girls. And imagine the chaos in the house. And so in this family of 9, we had at least 4 of us go and see what God is calling us to do, if God was calling us to the priest or to the religious life. My older brother's a priest. He's a Carmelite priest. And I am a priest as well. My youngest brother, Raymond, he wasn't sure if God was calling him to the priesthood. And so he went on a retreat after he saw my brother and I going to the seminary. He went on this retreat for a week, and he came back all happy and excited from this retreat. And my mom goes, why are you so joyful and excited? And he goes, well, because I found out that I don't have a vocation to the priesthood. Okay, now he is married and has children, five little ones coming around. Maybe he might have been thinking that again after he saw all these 5 little kids running around the house. But anyway, at least he gave God the first chance, and that's something that's important. And I remember when I was in the seminary, And I was struggling with my vocation still in the seminary because I was debating. I was talking to my spiritual director, and I said to him, I go, you know, even though I'm giving God the first chance, I still feel the call to the married life, to have a family and children. I feel that call, that desire also. I go, does that mean I don't have a vocation to the priesthood? And he said, not at all. He said, that's normal. If you didn't have that calling, if you didn't feel that, he goes, then that would not have been a normal. He said, it's normal for you to feel that call to want to be a father. He said, those make the best priests. And so then I go to him, well, I'm confused then, because this is not helping me out at all in my discernment. And he said, well, look, you feel God calling you to the priesthood, and yet you also feel God calling you to the religious life, to a family life, to getting married. And he says, what you have to look at is it's going to be a sacrifice for a good, one good for a greater good, for a love for a greater love. And so that helped me out, realizing that it is good to be a father of family, to get married. But he said to me, it was a sacrifice for me to do that. And he goes, what good would it be if it wasn't a sacrifice for a greater good, for God's calling, uniting my will with God's? And so I have not regretted this one bit. And I like to end with this here about this, about listening to God's will in our lives and the sacrifice that we make. We have 15 seminarians this year, and 6 of them entered last year. And then of those 15, we're going to be having 4 of them ordained. And many of you may know of Michael Sueco. Michael was a seminarian that was here a year for you. He'll be ordained this coming June. And so we look at all this. Yes, it's great that he's going to be ordained. Many of you know him. If we look at all this here, a lot of these men that came in, like I said, they gave up a lot. They gave up a lot just to come in to become priests. But yet, none of them are saying that they gave up a lot and they're not happy in the priesthood. No, they gave up a lot, but they actually gained much, much, much more. They gained that pearl of great worth. They gained the treasure beyond all treasures because they found God's will in their life. Now, these 15 men that are going through the seminary, they cost us a bit, okay? And so it costs us, the diocese, a certain amount of money to train these guys and to get them in through the seminary. And that's what our annual diocesan appeal does. The annual diocesan appeal, I know you're probably going, oh, geez, he's giving the annual diocesan appeal thing. Boy, somebody did a real good job cleaning up around here, didn't they? They took my battery out of my packs. They took the annual diocesan appeal stuff out of here. Anyway, that's life. So, you guys have those. They're in the pews there. And if you got them in the mail and you accidentally threw it away in the round file, go ahead and take some of those home with you. And what I want you to do is just discern there. It's a sacrificial giving, as we call sacrifice. Remember that sacrifice is giving. Sacrificing a love for a greater love. And sometimes when you feel like, oh man, they're asking for money here, and it feels a little bit uncomfortable, good. That's okay. It's okay. Because that means they're going, you know. But what it is you're doing something for a greater good by helping out. By helping out and giving a certain amount. I know a lot of people having financial difficulties and stuff. We're not asking for the impossible. We're just asking for the possible. And you all know, and I would like you to take those home and look at it. And those help form, you're going to be helping, part of that is going to be helping form the future priests of our diocese. And I want to thank those who have given, and I want to thank those who are concerned, thinking about giving. But most of all, what I want you to do is continue to pray for our seminarians, pray for them, and also pray for vocations. We need more vocations. We need more good vocations, and we're going to ask you to please continue to pray for them. And I want to thank you all for your sacrifice, your prayers, and your giving.